The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle. This is a podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is October 21st, 2014. We are sponsored by Fiorello Barbell Company here in upstate New York, where we're not the biggest, but we're the best. And our motto is, we don't try, we succeed. And with Roger, I do this all the time. A is for aggression, and today is Tuesday. And Roger LaPointe joins me every Tuesday. He's the president of Atomic Athletic. And we're going to talk today about something very interesting. The name of the show basically is going to be called Feedback from Listeners for Injury Comebacks and Mental Strength. And Roger and I have spoken to many people as of late, but I got a call on Sunday I'm going to describe after I bring Roger in, and Roger can bring in the people that have contacted him. This is going to be For some people, this might be a very emotional show, and we're going to get right to it. So, Roger, welcome to Motivation Muscle. Obviously, we're glad to have you here, and I think we're going to really pop the needle today.
Glad to be here, Eric. It's always good.
It is always good. Let's start with you, with this customer who reached out to you about the show and with the injuries and stuff, and then I'll get into who I spoke to Sunday. And let's just do a little bit of feedback here, and then we'll get into everything.
Okay, yeah. Well, I got this fairly local guy that I've been working with, and he just – sent me the greatest email. It was fantastic. He says, his name's Bill. He says, Roger, I can't believe how much better my shoulders feel with just minimal bowling club use. He's got some old bowling pins that he's been using for Indian clubs. And He goes on to say, I'll be getting a set of the real thing from you when they come in. He's ordered a custom set. And this is weird. My hips, lower back, and knees feel better too. Consequently, I'm doing more frequent workouts. He's had some shoulder issues. He calls this email a toast to healthy shoulders. Bill is 65 and he's been a power lifter most of his life. Got into Olympic lifting about 5 years ago, bought a power rack from me, a full Olympic set from Ivanko, one of their competition ones with the bumpers and all that kind of thing, and a whole bunch of other things. But he started training with me this at the end of this summer, and, he isn't going to the Olympics anytime soon. He's 65, But his Olympic lifting is improving in, little bits here and there and here and there. We make one or two modifications each workout. And the joy of working with him is that he actually listens, which, for those of you out there who have ever trained anybody else, it can be tremendously frustrating training people who don't listen. And then they'll ask you, oh, why am I not improving? You want to say, because you're not listening to what I'm telling you. I had a little personal training facility at one point, which I sold off to my former assistant, basically – because, I'm not a personal trainer. I can coach, and I can do a great job of coaching. Personal trainer, I'm not. two different things. And working with a guy like Bill, who's so excited and so into it, it's just great. It feels good. Shoulder thing is not just the Indian clubs. It's the way we work the Indian clubs in with the Olympic lifting. And we've gotten into a little bit of the gata use, so, you know, the big two-handed types of clubs. And he's loving it. It's really great. And what you get there, and this is what is helping him, is like many lifters, especially competitive power lifters, he was really into bench pressing.
Yep.
And, probably started lifting when he was 15.
Mm-hmm.
He's 65 now, and yep. He still bench presses. He does not bench press for competitions anymore, I guess. But he did up until just a couple of years ago. So he's got some shoulder issues that he's developed from, just overworking those front delts and the pecs. And has had some real difficulty getting his shoulders back far enough and his traps locked in to properly snatch. Snatches were always forward. So we're working through that, but simultaneously the shoulder pain that he's had is gone. And, like you said, his hips, lower back, and knees also feel better. So it's a funny thing. Once you start getting that balance in there, and, that concept is more typically associated with the bodybuilding world. But there's something to it. Just because you're a strength athlete and a bodybuilder does something doesn't necessarily mean it's bad. There, have been some incredibly strong bodybuilders out there, and they, that's one of the things that I believe in is the whole body concept, where, if you're going to do a lot of bench presses, you should probably do some serious bent over rows and do some work on those, do some side lateral raises, hit those middle delts, because your front delts are getting plenty of work. That's right in there. The Indian clubs and the gata, what they're going to do is they're going to break up some of that edema that you've developed over the years, the little bits of scar tissue and things like that, and they're going to increase your flexibility. And like I've said before, the weight of the club is probably the least important aspect of it. The most important aspect is the centrifugal force that you're working and the circles and arcs that you're doing everything in, where those two things combined, the centrifugal force and the circles and arcs, are going to really work the muscles, ligaments, and tendons in a very non-linear fashion. And I know lots of power lifters will go crazy if I say bench pressing is a linear movement. But the movement of the bar in a bench press and even a clean and jerk and a snatch, you are trying to defy gravity, which is the straight-ahead force that you're working with. So it is linear. The gravity is linear. and you are fighting it. So it's not just the fact that you're moving something in a restricted range of motion. If you look at like the bench press did not achieve its popularity until the Olympic clean and press was removed from competition.
Right.
As soon as that happened, the bench press, which was already becoming very popular, suddenly leapt ahead of Olympic lifting very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to the standing press, the bench press is a limited range of motion movement. Olympic lifters used to do it to improve their standing press if their backs were torqued or worn out or whatever. Szymanski used to do touch-and-go bench presses.
Right.
The guy could standing press 410. It helped him. But like many partial range of motion movements, you need to do the full range of motion movements too.
Mm-hmm.
Guys like Szymanski would do some dumbbell bench presses or flat bench presses. He didn't too much care what his numbers were on those lifts because they were training lifts for something else. Now, when you turn a training lift that's actually a partial movement into your primary movement, and now you're focusing on that and you're not doing the full range stuff, and you're not being balanced in your lifting and physical development, then you start having problems. And I've talked to many, many customers in the 20-plus years I've been in the fitness industry who have developed pec, shoulder, and elbow-related injuries from their bench pressing. And I'm not slamming bench pressing here. What I'm saying is if you're going to really excel at the bench press, you need to make sure that you bring the rest of the body along with it and develop everything in a balanced fashion. Now, there are some tools that you can use aside from the Indian clubs and the gada and that sort of thing. A basic one that I highly recommend is a simple broomstick. Do some what they're called, Olympic lifters call them dislocates with a broomstick, where you're bringing your arms back while holding the broomstick in a snatch grip position. Now, one of the things that Bill was doing, he was doing those, but actually he had his hands further out than his snatch,
mm-hmm.
and that isn't getting the stretch in there that he needed. So we tightened that up. And he's really worked on it, and that is also helpful. It's a whole bunch of things that we've done. It's a whole process. And that's a great tool. When I go to meets, I bring a rope with me instead of a broomstick, simply because it takes up less space. And part of it is you try to pull apart that rope, and it's not just stretching out the front delts. There's more to it than that. You would actually work with your broomstick or rope or whatever it is. But there are other bar variations too. And I know you've done some of this, Eric, with the do you have one of those log bar trainers?
Yes.
That I sell?
I think I got that years ago from you. Dr. Ken used to use those.
Yeah. Now I do them with a little different shape because what I've found is we started selling these log bar trainers for guys who wanted to train the log bar lift that you see in the strongman contest.
Yep.
I found that I was selling more of them to guys who had messed up some upper body part related to bench pressing.
Yep.
And what they've got is they've got a pair of vertical handles, and it's without the pipe, basically. You know, the big pipe that you have for that log bar.
Right. And what they do is you supinate your hands,
mm-hmm.
and you use that basically. If you've ever torn a bicep, that's one of the best tools to use for a bicep tear. When it's all healed, and if you want to go back to doing some serious big curls, the supination of the hands usually will avoid another injury like that. And that's one of the tools I use when I work biceps now.
Yeah, and that's the other thing that people will use it for is biceps
yep.
work. And
yep.
it's because you've got that different hand position.
Absolutely.
It changes the biomechanics of the movement. So
yep.
there are a lot of guys who I've talked to over the years say, you know, for whatever reason, they rotator cuff, you name it.
Yep.
They say they can't seriously bench anymore, and they used to love bench pressing. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Have you tried a different hand position for your bench pressing? And that parallel grip handle solves the problem for a lot of guys. Now, I've done other angles too, and that's what's nice about the design that I sell now, which kind of has a big rectangle in there,
yep.
is I've put different angle handles. I've put multiple handles, sometimes with different angles in there. And that lets guys get back to doing the bench pressing that they like to do. And,
yep.
you know, if you don't like your workouts, you're not going to go in the gym. You're going to lose your focus and interest in doing it. So if you're somebody that likes bench pressing, keep bench pressing. Just develop it in a balanced fashion. And this gets into the concept of prehabbing versus rehabbing.
Right. Oh, right.
And it's a training idea where you say, okay, I am feeling a little worn out in this one fashion. Let's say with me, I'm always watching my torn rotator cuff on the right side. So if I'm starting to feel it getting a little bit worn out and it's not working out for me, that's when I start modifying things up a little bit, and I don't make huge changes all at once. I, you know, tweak this little bit of my workout or that little bit of my workout, but it could be that, you know, maybe I'm doing too much of the same type of curl at the end of my routine. And when I start analyzing this and saying, that's what I've been doing. I'll haul out a different bar, and maybe instead of doing curls at the end of every workout, which I typically do, and, you know, I'll do one set of curls because, you know, for many years, for regular listeners out there, I didn't do any curls because of that sort of urban myth that Olympic, you know, biceps that are too big keep you from being able to rack a clean, which is BS. But so I'll do a little bit of curling at the end of every workout. Maybe I'll drop that for one of my workouts and do upright rows for the biceps instead, which is a great thing.
Yep. Well, let's get into now. I'm going to talk about a little bit of one of the customers that who listens. Well, he's not really a customer, but I got a call.
He was one
from
of my customers, right?
Right. He's
yeah.
one of yours. Mm-hmm. I got a call from Alan. He lives in New York State where I am. It was one of the nicest compliments, not only to Motivation and Muscle, but to myself that I've probably ever had from anybody. This gentleman's in his late 50s. I believe he's around 57. You know, he knows the names, Roger's name, Brooks Kubik. He was very impressed with Steve Helmicki. and he couldn't have been, you know, he left me a message, and I called him back, and he was like in utter shock that this is a guy from Motivation and Muscle calling me back. And I was like, well, if you left me a message, I'd call anybody back. That's not an issue with me at all. But he was just kind of stunned that somebody who's doing a show like this would spend, you know, take the time to call back a listener. And I was like, I'm a listener just like all you guys. It's that's what we do here. And one of the first things he mentioned, besides how much he loved the show, was that it sounded like a room full of us guys just exchanging ideas and having a great time. And I couldn't agree with him more. Well, Alan, I believe he was 49, and he had done a trap deadlift with 500 pounds. He wanted to do it for his 50th, but he did it for his 40th. And he's also very much into martial arts. And after that pull, he said, a few months down the road, things were like never the same again. He started getting all these little nicks, and I believe he did tear a ligament, and I don't remember exactly where it was. And what ended up happening is he stopped lifting, which he was like it was like destruction to him, because he'd been doing it all his life, and the people that he listened to prior to this show, you know, that was always the drum beat, everything. So in the meantime, he's still, you know, he's a business owner, and he's working hard with that, and he's doing martial arts for the last 6.5 years, you know, just wants to stay in shape, not touching weights at all when he stumbles upon Motivation and Muscle. And he says to me, when I heard you talking, he said something just kind of clicked. He was like, one of the things that you kept saying is there are no can'ts, there's only cans. And now this is a 57-year-old guy. This isn't a friggin' 18-year-old that maybe hasn't heard a lot of that yet. This guy has been around. He's done a lot of things, and he knows what he's talking about. I mean, the guy's got the exuberance of any 15-year-old I've heard. I mean, this guy loves it. And that was what he said about the show and everybody on it. He goes, you guys just, when you talk, he goes, like he said, I feel I'm in the same room with you. It was that good. So what does he start doing? He goes back to weight training again. And he's doing a little more, he said, and a little more. And he's starting to feel better and better and better. And right now, he's back full-time weightlifting again. And he's even beginning to buy equipment. But the main thing that will come out of this is this. He said the mental strength that you guys talk about and you hammer on all the time. And I hammer on it with everybody. Some people accept it. Some people feel, I think, that it's too much, I guess. You know, I almost like some type of suffocating, you know. But I'll tell you what. Anybody that loves this stuff the way all of us do, this comes out of us automatically. Some people can't convey it the way it's done here, but, you know, leading by example is still one of the best things you could ever do for anybody. And I put a thing up yesterday, you know, you keep hearing all these people. I'm trying to find myself. This is weightlifters too, you know, whatever they're doing. I'm listening to this, and it's telling me I'm this style person, and I'm having this, and I'm growing, and I'm doing this. And you know what I say? I put out an old Rocky video last night, and basically it was like, you want physical therapy? Here you go. Get out and breathe. Learn the feel. I mean, take feel, the two E's in it, and stretch it as far as you can, and then add the L. And basically I said, that's how you go out and grow. That's how you do things, because too many people are too fixated on trying to figure themselves out. And when you try to figure yourself out, you know what you're going to do? You're going to F yourself up even more. So Alan and my buddy Herman from Germany, I heard from him today. He loved the show that Roger, Steve, and I did last week. Roger got to run the board, because he interviewed both of us about Husafell and the Husa Steel Stones. He came right out, and I won't read. his email because some of it was a little, I think it was a little private with him. But I will tell you one thing. He said when he got to the end of the show, he said he was very emotional. And when you can capture somebody like that and something that we're talking about, is that meaningful to someone? We've done our job. And the Hermans of the world and the Allens of the world and everybody else that wants to jump on this merry-go-round with us, come along with us. This is what we do, and we're going to get better and better with it. So, Alan, I congratulate you. I'm very proud to have your association, and I couldn't tell you how happy I am that we've all helped you out. So, Raj, that's
pretty cool.
It's very cool to think that we, not just you and I, the others on the show too, have struck a chord with people that they're looking for something out there. They've decided that, you know what, I've weight trained or martial art or whatever they're into, and suddenly something happened. And I know that feeling. I know when I tore that bicep how I felt. There was nobody out there at the time speaking my language. It's like, where the hell am I going to go now? You know, and I discovered Steve, and obviously Steve helped me quite a bit, but the rest was pretty much up to me to figure out, which I did. But when you get hurt, or you got an injury, or something mentally happens to you, let's face it, I mean, with what's going on out in the world, some people just can't take the pounding anymore. And sometimes you need somebody to reinforce that, hey, you know what, you're going to be all right. We're going to get there. And if that means you come with us, we want you with us. And if we can help you out, we'll help you out off the air. Everybody here gives you, you know, information of what they do. They give you an email. Don't hesitate to get a hold of us. We will help you out. But the thing is, you get those mental scars, and some people just can't rise above them. And, you know, when I hear stuff like from Alan, this guy, I'm going to have him on a show in January. I was that impressed with just his story and just kind of like, you know, how he rose from the ashes. So all I can say to you is, Alan and anybody else out there, you know, welcome to Motivation and Muscle, and, you know, we're here to help you out. So congratulations.
And, you know, what you're also kind of getting at there, Eric, which I think is really, really great, and I found this with myself, is, you know, my rotator cuff. I was, you know, that close to going into the doctor to, you know,
sure,
schedule surgery and all that kind of thing. It was about 7 years ago, and I quite literally had the doctor's phone number on my desk, and I'd been procrastinating at giving him a call. But my, mm-hmm, you know, that morning, my wife had said, "Call him today. Do it.
Yep.
This is the time. We got to get this taken care of." And it just happened that Ed Thomas gave me a call like that afternoon. And mm-hmm, for those of you who don't know who Ed is, Ed was the head of physical fitness division, I guess, of the U.S. Army for, mm-hmm, 8 or 10 years. And Ed is the guy that I credit with getting Indian clubs back in the public eye. You know, I sell his little 1 and 2 pound, I call them hip clubs, or a high impact polyethylene. And he does the introductory video that I sell. So, mm-hmm, if any of you have gotten that set from me, that's got the introductory video, the guy, the older guy in there, that's Ed. Anyway, Ed calls me up. He wanted to order a whole bunch of strength and health magazines, and like 100 of them or something, which he did.
Yep.
And just casually says, "How's your training going?" You know, we're BSing. We're like-minded individuals. And You know, I'm more of a lifter than a martial arts guy. He's more of a martial arts guy than a lifter, but, you know, mm-hmm. we're right in there. And I said, well, honestly, I'm getting ready to go have surgery probably. He's like, oh, that's terrible. What's up? And I told him, and he says, you know, do you want to try to avoid having surgery? Because it sounds like you do. And mm-hmm. I said, yeah, I can do normal life stuff. It just hurts all the time. And I'm not sleeping. Every time I roll over in bed, it wakes me up, and then it's an hour before I can get back to sleep. He says, right. All right, if you can hold off for 2 to 3 months, try this. And he gave me a routine to start with the Indian clubs, mm-hmm. and literally starting with 1-pounders. And I did it. And even though I'd already been selling the Indian clubs for several years at that point, I used them as an accessory tool. Right. It was one of those gimmicky things that some guys do this that are into martial arts, and I'll sell it and I make money off of it. Okay, great. Well, then I dove deep into them, and I probably do more Indian club and Indian physical culture stuff than I do Western physical culture stuff today. It's, mm-hmm. You know, if you added it all up by time spent or number of workouts, I may do more. And so I was introduced to something new because of something bad, and I really enjoy it. So that bad thing that might have happened, you know, some injury or whatever, it sounds corny, but a new door is probably going to open up. You just have mm-hmm. to be ready for that door to open. And that's what happened with me with the Indian clubs. And these individuals in our lives, they can positively affect us in ways that we're not expecting. I was telling you yesterday, Eric, about going to see Henry Rollins up in Detroit on Friday. And Rollins was talking about this. He's got an incredibly upbeat show for the tough guy persona that mm-hmm. everybody associates him with. And, you know, he claims he's not a tough guy. He's a tough guy.
Right.
Serious lifter, all that sort of thing. For those of you who don't know who Henry Rollins is, look him up on the internet. He's a great guy. I don't know him, but I listen to his stuff, and he's I don't agree with everything he says, but he says some great things. He's really perceptive. And he talked about it during part of his 2.5 to 3 hour show, and he stands up there and he goes straight for that length of time. It's an assault on your senses with this one man talking show.
Yeah.
These things that we do in life, they do touch people, and you don't know how they're going to hit. And when he was talking about that, I was thinking, you know, he's right. And I started thinking about my shoulder immediately, where Ed was just calling up to order some stuff and ask what was going on, because he's a nice guy. And mm-hmm. that casual conversation made a significant change in my training, and I haven't had surgery. Haven't needed it, and I hope to avoid it for a long, long time because of it.
Well, that goes hand in hand with, there's always going to be people coming in and out of your life. I mean, you have it here with me. You're working with some people, some other people come in. You know, it's just like every podcast we're doing, we're meeting new people and we're getting connected to other people all over the place. But, you know, one thing about any type of injury, That's the same thing with the bicep with me. I had read Steve's articles for a long time in Milo, and he kind of talked a lot of the things that I like in a lot of ways. He does things different than I do, and that's fine. Some he does, some he doesn't. But I reached out to the guy because of he had the same injury as a power lifter. He straightened himself out. So I figured I'd pick his brain and see what he'd do with me, and Steve never asked a dime from me. And I mean, this is what Steve does for a living. And I'm kind of like the same idea here. Somebody comes to you. I mean, I'm not going to say to you, well, you got to put $500 up front for me to even talk to you. That would never happen because, how many times have we all needed help and somebody, like you said, suddenly somebody out of the blue came into your life and it was like, bang, I've got somebody here now that could help me. Obviously, I've got to do a lot of it on my own. But when you have people that have been through things, that have done things, and they do it with you in a way where it helps building self-confidence. Because when you have an injury, I don't care what it is, but when you have stuff like torn rotator cuffs, you have you blow your quad, and obviously a lot of this stuff is going to have to be surgically repaired if you get to points of that. Some people repair biceps, some don't. I know people have had it done, their strength was pretty much the same. A few years down the road, they blow the bicep again. There's that. Then some other people go through life fixed. It's good. Other people don't get it fixed. They still, they'll tell you you're going to lose X amount of percentage in that arm. I know people that were laborers that tore their bicep, and they told me they thought the injured arm was stronger. I don't know. In my case, it's fixed. It feels fine, but I'm always very cognizant of it. But the main thing with any of these injuries or anybody that's had some major stuff and decided to sit out on the sidelines for quite a while is this. If they come to you or if they're talking about it and you lend an ear to them, the main thing that I found with what happened with me is you've got to bring your confidence level back. And it's a very hard thing at times to do because when I got hurt, especially when we were in Iceland, you're a long way from home and you're in a place that you don't know. You don't really know you're not going to know people anyways where you go to a hospital. But the point of the matter, it was a whole different feel. I had somebody with me. I had my nephew with me, and he handled it because I was thinking was, am I ever going to be able to train again? Because, a bicep is so essential. You don't realize how much you use those when you lift. So if someone does reach out to you, chances are you are going to have to help them out mentally, because I still feel that if you don't have the mental capacity to dream big, to do big things and then execute them, you're not going to ever get anywhere. Now, if you want to be run-of-the-mill, which is nothing wrong, if you want to just lift weights to stay in shape, stay fit, by God, do it. But when you listen to this show, Roger's competed, I've competed, everybody on here, Steve's competed in powerlifting. Steve pretty much won everything he could. We had Steve Shaw on. He was a big powerlifter. I mean, we've had Amy Payne. We've had Angel Ballou. We've had all these competitive people, and they're going to tell you the same thing. You got to get yourself mentally strong and have the mental power to be able to get over not only setbacks, just basic things. You go out, you go to train, you get your ass kicked right into the ground. And Roger's had it. I've had it. Everyone that's been on the show's had it. But when you get an injury and you're back, okay, you're all healed up, and we hope at that point you're mentally healed up. The first time you go to – I remember the first time I pulled a stone. I was just and I don't care how strong you are. You're not going to escape it the first time. The first time you go to pull that, the first thing you're going to think of is, did I just rip it again? And you put it down, and you realize you didn't. And once you realize that you didn't, I can tell you right now, that flooded me with not only adrenaline, but it was like dopamine too, because it was like, you know what? I just lifted this beast again. It didn't hurt my arm. You know, I'm pretty rusty right now, but you know what? I just had the confidence to do that, and I just succeeded with that. Anybody that's ever had that, the flow through your mind and your body, it feels great. I mean, it's very hard to even match that type of feeling. And once you can get over that, you know, you can step over that bridge and you can go and train the way you want. And if you want to compete again, because like I told you when Roger spoke to Steve and I, when I went back in 11, that was pretty rough at first to step back on Husafell and, you know, see that goat pen and, you know, right in my vision, maybe 30 feet away, I can see the Husafell laying on its bottom. And it was like, I told everybody, I fell right to my knees. It was like, holy God, man, I'm here. I'm here again. How many people get a second, you know, opportunity? Obviously, you got caught in a bad storm, and that kind of skunked everything. But the stone came up, and that's all that matters. And we're going to go back again in 15 and finish it. And we're not going to go, you know, in November where you can end up getting buried. But you know something? Those two times were some of the best times I've ever had in my entire life. And I've got a permanent scar on my left bicep from Iceland to always remind me of that. And I think that's pretty damn good because, man, that's like, to me, a rite of passage. And when you're a man, and I'm not talking a child, you know, when you're a man, but you are childlike at times, because I like the idea of, all right, so what, you are immature at times, you know? There's nothing wrong with that, man, because there's just too many damn people that take themselves too damn serious. And if you want to stay young at heart and young mentally, have a little immaturity in you. I got news for you. Girls enjoy that and the guy. But the bottom line is here. Once you've got to that point and you've succeeded through this, now it's your call. Do you compete again? Do you train just for yourself at that point? And you want to stay bigger, you want to get lighter, you want to start lifting other things, you want to start bending, et cetera, et cetera. This is what it's all about. So,
but,
Raj,
yeah.
Obviously you can enter here with a mental tone here.
Right.
But, I mean, you know the deal, so take
well,
it away.
Yeah, it's your... those scars, don't think of those scars as, oh, my God, I got beaten.
Right.
That's the goal that you need to go beyond. So you say, okay, I did this. This was a problem. Now I'm going to do something bigger. And yeah, you're starting off maybe below where you've ever been because maybe like in your case, Eric, I'm sure – you tore that bicep, you probably couldn't move that arm real well.
Not for a long time.
Yeah, and it was the same way with my torn rotator cuff. There was a point where – there was never a point where I couldn't do snatches, but there was a point where the most I was able to lock out with absolutely perfect technique was like – it wasn't even 30 kilos.
Right.
It was pathetic. And I went on to beat some records in the all rounds in like thick bar snatching and stuff like that. You know, weird oddball things, but I went for it. And once you've decided, okay, this is bad, but it's just a challenge. Mm-hmm. And so, I did this thing. It didn't work out.
Right.
And now I'm going to go beyond that, which makes me think of, you know, I got a email recently from a guy that we will call Joe. That's not his name. It came in this weekend after – I had seen the Rollins show, and Eric and I started talking about what this podcast was going to be about. You know, I got to mention this guy, and he sent me an email, and I asked him, you know, could I use this in it? I'll change your name. And he's like, yeah, sure. That's great. It's my life is changing. This is good. And I'll read it here. He says, my big goal is to stay away from unwinding with strong drink or the local gray-haired cannabis dude.
There you go.
Those substances take the edge off my lifting. Whenever I drive by my favorite bar and keep going, I reward myself with a soda fountain protein shake.
Mm-hmm.
Again, thanks a lot. Thinking, man, that's freaking awesome. And I had no idea that the stuff I had written and done in a DVD, in this case, would have affected anybody in this positive fashion. You know, I'm trying to lay down, here's some things that you can do in your lifting kind of rules that are going to make you stronger and better lifter and all that sort of thing. Well, this guy took it as this is the challenge and I'm doing this and wait a minute, now I can do this too and I can remove these bad things from my life. And now everything's getting better. Wow. I look at that and I say, man, I had no idea I would have any kind of effect like that on anybody. I'm, you know, to some extent, I'm just doing a job. You know, I'm a guy doing a job. No different from, you know, my dad walking into GM every day for 29 and a half years and doing electrical work.
Mm-hmm.
It's a job. And then I see something like this, and I think, oh, okay. And it kind of freaks me out a little bit. But then I sit back and say, okay, well, I got to take this somewhat seriously. Because you never know how you may positively affect somebody.
Yep.
And that's good stuff.
Yes, it is.
It's really good stuff. Because now the world's a little better place.
Yeah, well, I look at, like, with my bicep, I'm looking at it right now. To me, it's this. It's a constant reminder of what I did to get there in 08. And take a chance on myself, which everybody should take a chance on themselves. You get there, you could win or lose, you could pick it up, you could walk it, you could drop it, you could do like Bill Crawford and I did. We both blew our biceps in Iceland. But the bottom line is this, you had the balls to go over there and do it. See, most people won't put themselves out. There's a lot of good talkers out there, you know, I do this, I do that. Really? Well, we go somewhere where you know no one, where you're going to put yourself out there. And what I like most about going to Husafell was this, and I can never get it out of my mind, is this. I had the balls to go there, and you know something? Who touched that stone before me, and who's going to touch it after me? And when I go again, who's going to touch it after me again? I got to absorb everything from Bjorn, from Father Bjorni Snor, how's his name go? his name's a trick. How is Father
Snorri Bjornsson? Is that it?
Bjornsson. That's how it is. Yeah. Father Snorri Bjornsson. Okay, I'm calling them all different names. Here's the deal. You know, I mean, from him all the way through. Look at all the great ones that, you know, you look at the 92 World's Strongest Man, Gary Taylor, Magnus Vermagnussen. All those guys grabbed that stone. Steve Jack, they all walked with it. And you know something? It is, like Steve said, I never forget that watching that video. It's, you know, it's like wrapping your arms around eternity. And it is, man. I will never forget that as long as I live, to be able to go over there, see something on a video, basically, a DVD, and say, you know what? I'm going to go over there and see if I can do it. And I think with anybody that does that, whether you carry it or you don't, because I don't see anything there with failure at all, just to get there, man, take the voyage, take the trip, take the shot on yourself. Don't be afraid what people say. You know, I remember when I came back, everybody's like, oh, man, you know, you tore it. Aren't you pissed you didn't get it? I was like, yeah, I've got a million things going through my mind, but here's what I took from it the most. I got to go somewhere where I really wanted to go and do some things that I really wanted to do. And how many people ever do that or put their ass out on the line? Because let's face it, public opinion usually means more to people than doing what's right for yourself. And if you live like that, you should be ashamed of yourself. You should be able to look people right in the eye and say, you know what? I'm going to go do this no matter what you think. And if you don't like it, that's too bad. And if things don't work out and you say, I told you so, I'll look right at you and say, you know what? But at least I had the guts to do something. So
it's the man in the arena, you know?
Totally, man. That's what I said. Legion, man. The Roman Legion. You know, that's what it is. It's like, go out there, man, and just do something. You know, stop being a friggin' couch potato.
Be willing to fail.
Absolutely.
Don't look at it I think I'm going to fail, because you probably will. Go after it as if you're going to succeed.
Yep.
And you're Teddy Roosevelt's man in the arena then. You're going after
Absolutely.
It. And you're daring greatly. Yep. And, you know, maybe you end up failing. Lots of guys went down to Antarctica, and not a lot came back.
That's why I always liked. And that's why I always liked like Gladiator and Cinderella Man. It was like, you know, and of course Rocky Balboa will always be my favorite. You know, these were people that. You know, stories that, you know, I mean, I would have loved to be in the Roman Legion, especially being Italian. I could see myself right there. I could see myself in battle like that with all the armor on, man, and you're all lined up and everything's like set. And it's like you got a leader there. Put that sword up, man, and away you go. You know what I mean? And it's the same way with like, you know, you look at these guys, whether it doesn't matter, they don't have to be, they could be boxers, they could bake cakes. I don't really give a shit. The whole thing is this: you're following your dream. You're together with people. You know, that's like I like here. We are like a legion now, and we're growing bigger and bigger. I want this legion to spread everywhere, and I want this message to get out to everyone. You don't have to agree with every single thing I say, and I wouldn't expect you to. But you know something? The gist from this is here. Build a foundation, basic exercises, but most of all, work on your head, and don't listen to all the bullshit that's all around you, man. It's like, stop trying to improve everything all the time. I said yesterday, take your innate intelligence. Listen to yourself. Don't be afraid to sit by yourself and quiet your mind. You know something? Internally, you got all the answers you need. And if people want to give you a hand and help you out and you respect them, by all means, do it. But you know something? There's nothing like going out and trying to figure things out a little bit. You know, get a few cuts, man. Bleed a little bit. Get some bruises. You know, get your friggin' ego in check. Get knocked on your ass a few times, and I guarantee you, you'll be better than any shrink out there is ever going to tell you anything, or some expert that's writing, you're this type of personality, or you're this way because you do this. That's all bullshit, man. They're all trying to make money. That's all it is. You've got all the tools within you to do right. So do right. Right? Right. What do you think?
Yeah,
Greg?
Yeah.
But,
absolutely.
I mean,
you go after one challenge,
yep.
and you either succeed or get knocked down. Either way,
yep.
you get back up and you say, I went after that. And I was strong enough mentally to go after whatever that challenge was. And, maybe that challenge has nothing to do with the weight room. But the weight room is a great thing because the goals that you set in the weight room and yep. the progress that you lay out teach you lessons. The iron will teach you, as
sure
Rollins
will.
Says. And yep. you get back in there again and again and again, and then you apply those lessons to the rest of your life.
Yep.
And it's just like that guy's email that I read. You know,
right.
my big
right.
goal is to stay away from unwinding with, that
yeah.
sort of thing. He got that because of the lifting that he was doing.
Yep.
One little thing after another, and it adds up, and it adds up, and it adds up, and then all of a sudden you can say, hey, I did that. I bet I can yep. do this that's a little harder next time.
Well, you get what you receive. That's the deal, and that goes with anything you do, whether it's lifting, relationships, work, whatever you do, whatever you're putting out, you're going to get back. And if you're not getting that with people, you get away from people and go associate yourself with people. But look, the feedback show, this is great with the mental strength, and I hope that this really resonates in a lot more people and Alan, you were the inspiration, obviously, and Roger and I talked about this, and we appreciate you inspiring us because this is what this show is all about today. So, Roger, why don't you give, unless you got anything to add, why don't you give everybody your information and we'll sign off.
Sounds good. Yeah, I'm Roger LaPointe. The business is Atomic Athletic. You can find us at AtomicAthletic.com. That's AtomicAthletic. I've got the blog there, and that's in the upper right-hand corner where you can read that, and it's periodically randomly updated and that kind of thing. I do work on the site every single day. Something's happening on there. There's either new products or removed products or fixed prices or expanded descriptions, whatever. And then there's the free email newsletter, the Atomic Athletic Bombproof Bulletin. Sign up for that on the lower left-hand corner. And I get this all the time. Do you sell your email addresses? No. No, I don't. I've been doing this for 15 years. I've never sold an email address. Don't plan on it. I've got some big-name people that have been readers. Supposedly, I got to meet Henry Rollins because of that email newsletter. And other guys, too. I wouldn't give that away. That's a lot of companies do. And, that's their business model. That's not mine. It's AtomicAthletic.com. And enjoy it. Thanks.
All right. You're welcome. So, this is Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. You can go out and look at our new website there. It's www.motivationandmuscle.com. We are sponsored by Fiorello Barbell Company, www.fiorellobarbellco.com. If everything goes right today, we will have the brand new FBC website up today too. So we've got two brand new ones and another one coming on the way. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. We are on Twitter at Fiorello Eric. We are on Facebook at Fiorello Barbell. And I think that might be it. I'm just trying to think. Is there anything I forgot? Oh, you can contact me, too, at FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.RR.com. We love your feedback. Roger and I and everybody else associated with these podcasts would be more than willing to help you out. So if there's been stuff that's been holding you down or maybe you've just kind of dropped out and you want to drop back in, you know, give us a holler. My phone number's on there. I return calls to anybody that calls me and leaves a message. That will always be, no matter how big we become, because I'm the same guy that you guys are that, you know, wanted to lift, bought some weights, decided to do a few big things, and nothing's changed. If anything, we're just going to get more aggressive and bigger. So, as I said in the beginning, we are A for aggression. So, for Roger LaPointe, this is Eric Fiorello. I want to say have a great week, and Roger and I will be on next Tuesday, and I'm sure we'll have another big show with lots of good topic, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks, and have a good day.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.